I've been in business 20 years, and it's still a process of navigating those feelings, right? Navigating the trauma that comes up, navigating the perceptions that, you know, even when I perceive something that I know is not true rationally, my body doesn't know it. And either I want to jump out of my body to not feel it, or, you know, I have to sit with it, which is hard.
I'm Sonia Statman, and you're listening to The Feminine Lens. Over the last 20 years, I've had the honor to work with thousands of women around the globe in self-development, in leadership, and in business. Being in the trenches with women has taught me that we have to stop seeing ourselves and the world through the patriarchal lens. I've spent my life helping women look through a new lens, a feminine lens, a lens that honors our innate worth and wisdom, a lens that empowers us with more wealth and freedom. The Feminine Lens is designed to challenge you. It will change what you think and what you know, but it will help you reclaim yourself. And that is the way we change the world. Ready? Let's do this.
Hi, and welcome back to The Feminine Lens. I'm so excited today as we continue our journey on, you know, what is embodiment and why is that important in our life and businesses? Because I've got a beautiful panel here of guests, and I'm going to introduce you to each one, and then we're going to have this amazing conversation about how we sort of can become more embodied in our businesses. So Cass Giorsi is a teacher, facilitator, and integrative coach. Her business midline is a holistic approach to the integration of body, mind, and spirit. So welcome, Cass. Kate Woolsey is a holistic wellness coach and meditation guide, and she helps high achievers jumpstart their journey to bliss. And then Laquasha Jeffries, she calls herself the Beyonce of self-love. She's the creator of the Self-Care Queen Club Retreats and hosts events that allow women to dance, laugh, reflect, and indulge in self-care. So this is a pretty amazing crew of women. And what I love about this panel and why I wanted to kind of gather it around this topic is because they are fully engaged both professionally and personally in the body. Right. And so I thought it would be perfect for them to come on and talk a little bit about, you know, what embodiment means to them, how they're, you know, kind of working that embodiment into their business, and why it's even important for us to talk about. So who wants to kind of dive in and start with that topic?
Well, thank you for having us. Thank you for thinking of this panel. I think this is a beautiful topic. And the funny thing is, Kate and I we're talking at the top of the year at one of our retreats, and we were talking about the words we're thinking about and using and what we want to manifest. And embodiment was one of the words that I had for 2021. I think it's just timely for women in general. And I also believe women of a certain age, when you start to get in those mid to upper 30s, you know, in your 40s and 50s, you begin to look at things a lot differently, and hopefully start a journey towards introspection, you know, and what it means to really show up for you. So I just love the word embodiment. I'm looking forward to exploring that on your podcast, because the word feminine, I think, is just such a beautiful, delicious, like sensuous word. Yes. So like, let's get into it.
I love it. Thank you, Laquasha.
I can explore that word embodiment all day long. I have always been sort of the body. Since I was a young person, it sort of has always felt to me just where my intelligence has like it's always lied inside the body. Mm. I was sort of an average quote unquote student, a middle of the road kind of kid. I was the youngest of four children. And so I had a role in my family to be maybe the mascot. I was always sort of putting on shows. I was always going away, creating something and coming back. And it was always through an expression, a self-expression through a dance performance or a song or some thing I had created with my own physical body, with my form. It was the easiest and the quickest thing for me as a young person. And that has informed so much throughout my life about where I get my intelligence from. It's just the word I keep coming back to, because our masculine, you know, driven society really puts a high price on education and intelligence and titles and, you know, success being valued on what you've achieved in terms of monetary success or these sorts of things. And I'm sort of on a crusade with the women, with all of us are, I believe, really in this next wave of awakened living, that we know that it's got to come from our bodies, in the sense that we need to learn how to come back home and also trust ourselves again. So that's always sort of been there for me. I don't say that to sound like I know all of the things about everything when it comes to the body. All I know is from my own experience, the more I listen and trust my own body, the better I feel and the better my life sort of gets designed naturally.
Oh, I love that, Cass. And I think, you know, it's so interesting. I want to just kind of hold that phrase, awakened living, because I feel like that is really the crux or the piece about embodiment, is it helps us to live fully and in an awake state. And it requires us being in our body to do that. We can't be awakened if we're not in our body awakened. And I think there's this, you know, it's interesting as you explore like spiritual circles and people who are talking about being awake, oftentimes they're still very conceptual. They're still talking about their mind waking up, but their body is still asleep. And that's why this is so important, because we can't fully be living unless we're embodied.
Ooh, that is so juicy. I love that.
Yeah, that's so true. And that's something that I've experienced a lot as well in my own alignment, in terms of, for me, it comes a lot through my health and wellness and also through the foods that I eat. They help inform the energy that I have, the clarity and all of that. If I'm eating things that are in agreement with me, then I feel much more energetic and fluid. And if I'm eating things that don't agree with me, then it's like, it's literally weighs me down and I can feel that. And it's that experience, I think, as you both have just mentioned, it's like, it takes you from the head and the mindset of embodiment or the mindset of alignment or of anything. And it really brings it into the tangible sense of, how do I feel? How can I approach this? Do I have the energy for this? Am I in flow? Because it's not really just deciding it. It's when you have that real visceral experience that happens through every cell in your body that you're really in true alignment and can experience it on that full level.
Yes, I love that.
It's almost like an intuitive hit. You know what I mean? I feel like intuition and embodiment go hand in hand. Like maybe they're BFFs. Because when you start to like intuitive dance or different movements or even intuitive eating, like Kate was talking about, recognizing the things that make your body feel good or refreshed or rejuvenated versus things that make you feel heavy or weighed down, you know, bloated, the type of vitamins, you know, there's you can get so deep with the things that we feed and put into our bodies. What Cass and I, we were talking about Trisha Hershey over at the Knapp Ministry, the Knapp Bishop, and how she's been talking for decades really about rest and what that means for women, what that means for folks of color, what that means for Black people in particular, you know, and the shame that's around rest. And I'm interpreting her words here, but how that ties into embodiment. Because if you're fatigued out, if you're drained out, how are you going to be present? How are you not going to disassociate? You know what I mean? If you're totally flatlining when it comes to energy.
Yes. And, you know, it's funny because when Kate was talking, I was thinking as well, you know, as I've aged, like, you know, I'm now 46. So as I, you know, am in my mid 40s, I'm so sensitive to food, right? I'm so aware of like, you know, all the things. And I've been saying, oh, why now am I so sensitive to literally everything? Like there's so many foods I can't eat. And then I started to wonder, is it actually that I'm more sensitive, or is it that I'm just more awake in my body and I recognize it, right? Because I lived my life in fatigue and disassociation up until, you know, even like I would say the last 10 years is really when I started to become more awake and embodied.
And what I would add to this in terms of intuition and embodiment to Laquatia's wonderful pairing, I'll take both of those, please. Yeah. They come in a pair. I'll take them both. But also when we're in that, when we really live there, we don't question stuff so much. Yeah. There's not so many choices that overwhelm because we're not externally like our our brains, right, are hardwired to find the threat or look, seek the data, that's kind of taken out of the equation. So we just sort of know this is what makes me feel nourished. This works for me and my balance, depending on where I am in my cycle. Or these are the nights I need to rest and go to bed at 8. And some nights I can stay up. You know, like we just get to really trust our calculations, our inner calculations of what to eat, when to eat it, when to sort of quote splurge or feel that sugar or whatever it is. I don't mean to, you know, put any sort of judgment on what people eat or don't eat in terms of that. But I'm just saying there's not as much self-doubt. Like, is this it? Is this it? I don't know. You know, all that time wasted, so much time wasted worrying if it's the right thing. One of the things I say in my work is always, you're not doing it wrong. Like, let's just start at baseline. You're not doing it wrong. We're just going to work to find what works for you. But let's like take out this equation that somehow there's a right and you're not there. I think that's the first thing for women, again, as we relearn and re-embody ourselves.
Yes. And, you know, it's interesting because I noticed, like, so for the last few days, I've been without power. And in that experience, I could feel myself disassociate, right? Like, you know, it was super cold in my house. I was worried about my kids. You know, we're trying to figure out how to deal with all the emergency stuff. And it really, it was like I couldn't feel my body and I was foggy. Like, I'm used to trusting myself, right? I'm used to trusting what decisions to make, and I couldn't make clear decisions. And then today, as we got power back on, I started to notice, okay, my body's so tight and constricted. Oh my gosh, I've been out of my body for days and days. And I think this is the piece that we don't recognize, is that it's a practice of becoming more aware of, are we in our body and are we not in our body? And what is good for our body and what is not good for our body? And it's like that practice of awareness that is so key, you know. And I think people don't, I don't know, sometimes I think people think awareness is simple. Like, that's just the first like beginning step. And then the rest is like doing something about it. But awareness is really the key when it comes to embodiment, in my opinion.
That's so interesting. And I've been going through a different, but similarly stressful experience recently because we were moving. Mm. So it's one of those things too, where, as you mentioned, it's like you definitely have this awareness that things are changing and things are shifting, and there's stress that comes with it. Just even though it's something that we were looking forward to and that we're excited about, it's a positive change. But at the same time, it's a big change, right? So it kind of takes your world and flips it upside down for a few days. And on the one hand, it's very beautiful that it gives you this experience that's very physical, the manual labor of like packing and moving boxes and of cleaning, and that you kind of spend time in your body and physically kind of connecting, but also exhausting your body in some way, just because I think in some ways it helps activate that rest you need so badly. Yeah. But it is very interesting, the awareness of the experience. And I think, as you were saying, as we become more sensitive to ourselves and our own embodiment and our own experiences of going in or out of that, connecting to that and honoring it, or, you know, sort of disconnecting from it from time to time. For me, the next step really is, how do I support myself then? You know, what do I need? You know, for me, it's like, I need rest. I need support and help from other people without judgment, not worried about that. I welcome the generosity of my friends and the foods. You know, it's like all of a sudden you're having takeout and it's like, this is not a sustainable environment that I'm creating for my body to deal with stress, right? This is very much in my head. I know these things, but my body's going through a stressful experience to some extent. And so it's kind of reaching for these things that are highly palatable, but not sustainable, right? And so it's like, I do think having that sensitivity and that awareness and being able to kind of notice it and say, okay, this is not helping me get to where I want to be going. How do I want to correct this? And how do I want to bring myself back into my own feeling of balance and energy and things like that?
Yes.
That actually makes me think of when you were speaking and talking about the stress, the beauty and the stress of the move. It made me go back to my ACEs training, ACEs or adverse childhood experiences, and the way that our bodies, especially children's bodies, deal with trauma, and how that's one of the ways that we're taught to disassociate, whether just intuitively is something that we know we have to do to survive, yeah. or our, you know, cultural upbringing, our current surroundings or things like that, breathe this need to disassociate. And for some of us, it is our life's work to get back embodied, to get back into yes. the body when you've experienced the trauma, or you've had like a lifelong experiences of trauma. And it's one of the things I'm very thankful and very fortunate to have worked with a therapist that really helped me see the different ways that I was saying, I want to show up like this. I want to feel like this. I don't know how to get there. And having someone to say, let me walk with you as we unpack and unravel all these things and all these behaviors and patterns that you had before. For some of us, we've grown up seeing people be embodied, maybe aunts or teachers or mentors or things like that, or people that we put on a pedestal. But for other of us, we've seen this disassociation as the model and as a survival mechanism. So it is a great and delicate work to go from that to being fully present and here.
Yes. And I love really reminding people that this is a lifelong process of getting back in our bodies, especially if we had trauma. I had a lot of trauma when I was really young, and I've spent my whole life in this process of like re-engaging in my body. And I still have so much disassociation and disconnection, right? Yeah. And I think, you know, sometimes people are really hard on themselves because they feel like they should already be past this, right? They've done all the work. They've done work for a couple years or even 10 years. And they're like, I should just be done. I should be embodied. I should be awoken. I should be able to do whatever I want to do. Like, I should be able to, you know, not have my emotional stuff being triggered in my business, right? I see that a lot with my clients. I shouldn't have any of that happen because I've done all this work for a long time. Why do the other people get to just start a business and not have all their trauma re-engaged? And why is it such a struggle for me? And I'm like, well, for some of us, it's a lifelong process, and that's okay.
Yeah. It's not, you know, it's not linear. It's like those maps at the mall that says you are here. You know, it's just what it's like. You are literally there, yeah. and you want to get to the point where you can be there, mind, body, and soul, where you actually are, and then do that work in that journey. But those coulda, woulda, shouldas, they'll kick your butt if you let them.
Wow, there's so much richness to this conversation. There's just two things I wanted to circle back to. I am not trained in trauma. That is not my area of expertise. So I want to be really transparent about that. I don't want to misspeak, especially when it comes to disassociation, though I think, Laquasia, you make an excellent point in that that has been the model, right? That we are all sort of picking up. And I think capital T trauma, lowercase t trauma, we're all experiencing that, especially in the last 12 months, certainly. But I wanted to talk about, you know, when we talk about getting ourselves and getting the people that we serve back to the body, there is so much resistance, I think, because we put such a hierarchy on emotions and certain feelings being better somehow than others. We spoke yesterday, Laquasia and I, about the sensation or the emotion of loneliness and how like the curse of loneliness, or that to be lonely means you've somehow failed, or that there's space in your life and therefore you've not done something right. And I think we need to back that up a little bit and just realize that emotions are energy in motion, and they change all of the time. As Rilke says, no feeling is final. You know, we just have to really trust that we are, as living beings, that there's motion happening in us all the time in the form of E, motion, energy in motion. And so opening up the dialogue around whether it's movement or food or sense, like especially something like food, where people tend to use it as a buffer. And so they don't want the discomfort of not having that thing that they use to feel full or warm or whatever they do in that way. I think that's an important thing to make part of the conversation, the larger conversation, this one, but also the larger conversation when we talk about embodiment, because people are afraid to feel. And they're afraid of pain, and they're afraid that it's going to last forever, that it's going to slow them down, that they're going to lose their edge. If we bring that into the business conversation, embodiment, it's funny you talk about trauma. I suffered trauma as a young girl, feeling very left out. As I said, I was alone a lot as a kid, and I couldn't really trust my friends. They'd like be my friends one day, and then all of a sudden they wouldn't be my friends. And I just didn't know. And I kind of carried that with me, sadly, into my teens and even into my 20s. It's really, I've just turned 40, and it was only in the last few years that I've really claimed my women friends as mine and like had chosen them and they've chosen me. But it was a long time of loneliness. And as an entrepreneur, as a woman who facilitates spaces for healing and connection, and though I come from a very inclusive family and I have a family life that is very rich in that way, and so I have a good model of what that means, I will just be transparent and say this here because I know there might be a listener listening who this might help. I still, just today, this very day, feel like I'm not cool enough. I'm not cool enough. Nobody wants to join my club. Nobody wants to join my posse, or, you know, I don't have enough followers, or, you know, this idea that I'm being left out because I'm not the XYZ. And I do, I leave my body. I don't leave my body. I get mad. That's my default. We all have a default. My default is I'm more in the sympathetic response. I'm more of a fight kind of girl. So I get a little I get a little angry. When I'm anxious, I get a little pissy and I get a little bitchy. And part of that's because the rejection, perceived or not, I do not know. And I do have lots of support around this. So I don't need to unpack it here necessarily. But when we talk about body, we talk about trauma, and then we start to run a business that provides food for the table, for the family, for the rent, you know, it's like, I'm kind of playing with, it feels like I'm playing with a lit match in a very windy place. I'm kind of like, how do I keep this thing lit? Oh God. So anyway, that's just my contribution to that idea around embodiment and business and what it really means to be in your body and in your business. At least for me, I'm still figuring it out. Lord knows it's a lifelong journey for sure.
Oh, all of us. I mean, I often talk about how I've been in business 20 years and it's still a process of navigating those feelings, right? Navigating the trauma that comes up, navigating the perceptions that, you know, even when I perceive something that I know is not true rationally, my body doesn't know it. And either I want to jump out of my body to not feel it, or, you know, I have to sit with it, which is hard, right? Like, you know, and this is what I think, it's such a good, you know, segue to really open up that piece about, you know, being embodied in our businesses and the expectation we have of ourselves. We have such a high expectation that we should just be robots, that we should just be able to be successful and make lots of money and get lots of followers and do all of these things. And then we get mad at our bodies, our emotions, or ourselves, or shame ourselves for not being in a certain place. But this is the thing we're navigating. We're navigating whatever is in our bodies. To get back into our bodies, to be embodied, means we have to address it.
I just wanted to amplify what Cass said about rejection. I really love that, because when we think about being embodied, sometimes we think, you know, kind of airy-fairy, and like, oh, I feel everything, and it's so pleasant, and it's lovely, when really, like, those rejections that are inevitable, they're going to come with being a business owner, being an entrepreneur, being a female business owner. You're going to get those arrows of rejection, and sometimes they feel like arrows. They don't feel like little dove kisses or butterfly kisses, you know? And when you think about, like, building your specific audience or your people, your community, the people that you're serving, you're calling in these people to you, but there's still a calling process, because you're going out into the void and you're saying, hello, I'm here. This is what I offer. This is a space that I want to embody. And there has to be people who say no. There has to be a rejection for you to have your authentic people, your community, you know? But we get those rejections and we're like, it's so personal, and we feel it all in our bodies. I am not the fighter. I'm the exact opposite. I like shut down. I'm like, doop, doop, doop. Position in my feelings. I was talking to Kate. We had a talk on feelings. I'm like all in my feelings. I shut down. It takes me a few days to be able to have conversation I need to have, because I have to have it with myself about real or perceived rejections. But being embodied, I guess, it's just the full, it's like that wraparound 360 experience, because when things are great, like they're orgasmic and it's wonderful, but then, you know, you kind of wear your heart on your sleeve a little bit, and you're opening yourself up for the barbs and the blooms, you know, all aspects of it.
100%. And, you know, it's interesting, in the first sort of foundational podcast I did around embodiment, you know, I talked about how one of the tenets of like somatic therapy, right, is really this idea that all energy is good, right? If we just had the perception and the understanding that all energy is good, whatever we feel in our body is right and good and not wrong and not bad and not shameful, you know, that would be a game changer, right? Like if we just embraced all the energy. And it's interesting because as like, I've definitely seen this with my clients, and as they're going through even somatic therapists, like sometimes when I'm working with someone who's also seeing a somatic therapist, as they start to really feel sensation and without all of the labels, they actually realize it, even grief or anxiety or all those things we label, when we just feel the sensation, it's not that bad. But the attachment that we create to it, the meaning that we put behind it, we make energy, certain energies, bad, right? And that's different for all of us depending on our experiences.
Yeah, that's so true. One of the things that I focus on a lot in my business is bliss. And the misconception around that is that it is not necessarily just that everything is good. It is absolutely the capacity to feel your emotions fully without judgment. And the best example I can give is like when you have that really good cry, and at the end, you just feel so good and so clean and so in touch with yourself. And it's like, that is just as valuable, if not more so, than what we think of as joy and things like that. It's being able to just reach in and express your emotions fluidly without judging them, to really just experience what that is, to get out of your head and into your spirit, into your body. And I think you had mentioned too, the difficulties that we face as business owners, because I think we take that judgment not only to our own emotions, but absolutely to our own achievements. Mm-hmm. And we have certain expectations that we set from our mind, right? That we think we should be somewhere and we think we should be able to accomplish something. And the truth for me is I did not go into my business because I thought it was a good idea. I went into my first line of work spending decades in healthcare leadership because I thought that was a good idea. And I was traditionally successful there, but it didn't align with me on a physical level, right? So energetically, I end up feeling depleted and unfulfilled and off in some way, right? So I shifted my life because I was following my body. Right? I was following the signals that I was getting that was saying, this doesn't feel like I want my life to feel, right? It looks like we would want our life to look, or think it should, or whatever. But now starting a business, I mean, my business came to me during a meditation, and it continues to pour out of me during meditation and things like that. For me, it is a very spiritual and a very physical pursuit in some ways, right? It is like, where do I feel aligned? In what activities, in what capacities, with whom do I feel aligned, right? Who do I serve? How do I serve them? So to then approach it with judgment from our thinking brain is a very incongruent approach, because that's really not how I'm leading or creating it. So why would I judge it that way? I mean, part of it is habitual and cultural, right? We really have to like actively get ourselves out of that frame of thinking and into one that's more understanding and more aligned and more useful in this scenario. But it's just interesting to me.
Yeah. Look, 100%. I have seen so often that some of the primary causes of women in particular struggling in their business is that misalignment, is that their head has created their business and their body isn't in it. And then they wonder why nothing's working. there's so many facets in it too, right? Because, you know, especially like in my case, I'm the breadwinner in the family. If I don't have income, we don't eat, you know? So then there's like that piece that comes in. And there's the fear of rejection. I have that as well. Like, you know, what if I do what I'm really aligned to do, what my body's telling me to do, and no one wants it, right? No one wants me. You know, like those are the kind of things that come up. And so it's this really interesting thing to navigate. And I think people try to really simplify operating a business. Like it's just, you just go in, you just do some marketing, you just get out there and do your thing. Like, not really. Like there's so many other aspects that go into us having a business that's aligned, that we love, that our body is fully in.
That's so true. And one of the things, you know, I think there can be like this like miscommunication where it's like, oh, well, yes, people who work in the body, they can take that risk. They can listen to their bodies. They can move or work intuitively. But I do, you know, tax accounting, so I can't listen to my body. Or I teach, so I can't listen. No, you totally can. You totally can. And you listening to your body or delving into joy within your business is going to look maybe different than what I need. But you can, you know, do intellectual property and still need naps. You don't have to be a yoga teacher to me, you know, naps. You can still need intuitive dance. You can still be only able to be on video once or twice a week, no matter what your business is. Those are the small ways you can really encourage embodiment and get into your body and say, you know, I can do this thing on Clubhouse because it's audio, and I can do this live thing. But I can't do a lot of live calls. I just won't have it for my business. Or I can cook dinner twice a week. There are other times my spouse is going to do it. DoorDash is going to do it. Yeah. Whole Foods is going to do it. whatever the thing is. So it's, you know, yes, we are, this panel is highly intuitive. I love these women. I feel them energetically. I would trust them with my body and to do body work and meditative work. But don't think if you are in a traditionally masculine field or you do something that is like maybe mind work or hand work or physical or something like that, that you can't also listen intuitively the way we're saying. We're saying delve into your feminine side, delve into what your body needs and what feels good, regardless of what you're the CEO of.
I love it. So true. And everyone's business will improve the more they listen to their body and the more they honor their body.
And they may even be surprised at how simplified things get. You know, a lot of the chaos falls away. A lot of the noise falls away. The uncertainty, as we talked about earlier, you know, talking about embodiment, I teach movement and I am at my absolute happiest. I could cry. I'm so madly in love with what I do. The teaching just kind of comes through me. I don't plan. It just, I read the field and I sort of get a sense of what people need. And I teach about connective tissue and core alignment and so not about six pack kind of goal oriented, but really understanding the sort of continuity of your form and how that informs your natural intelligence. And that's where I get very geeky and nerd out, and I absolutely love it. But to Laquatia's point and what we're all expressing here is really, really potent, because it just doesn't have to be complicated, right? It doesn't have to be like, you don't have to be in a special line of work or of a certain class or in a certain position in your life to be able to indulge, quote unquote, in the time that it takes to be embodiment. It's sometimes it's just a hand to your belly or a hand to your chest and a breath into your hand. Sometimes it's just like a pause. That's one of my favorite words, is pause. I almost got it tattooed on me because I just think it's such a important somatic, it's a somatic word. It's a word of the body. The body wants time to digest. It needs time to filter. It needs to and yet it moves at a rapid pace. It's such a miracle that of how it works, but that idea of the pause. So if that's maybe the one thing that you could build into your day, what's my moment of pause going to be today? Am I going to stand in one place and take the time it takes to drink an entire glass of water and then take a breath to follow that perhaps? I don't know how those two things came together. I just felt the need to express that, like, because my work is in the body, I took notes on IG later. What's that? I'm sorry.
I'm going to quote you on IG later. I just took notes.
I love that.
So, but it's funny, but like, there's like a feeling, I think, of enoughness that comes in the business side of this conversation that I know I work with, because when I'm in the work, when I'm doing work with one-on-one or in a class, I feel more than enough. I am right there. I know exactly what I'm doing. I know what I'm meant to do. I trust spirit's going to guide everyone that's present. It's not just me. I don't have to manage the whole situation. Everyone's having their own experience. It's when I step away and everybody goes home. They used to go home. Now everybody turns off their computer and I walk away and I think, now what? How can I be more than, like, now how am I going to get more? My brain's like more, but my body's like, that was great. You're good. I'm like, my brain's like, no, I need more. Give me more.
That's such a great point, Cass, because I think for a lot of us, when we're in our business, when we are working with our clients, when we are serving, like, we are fully embodied, right? We're there, we're flowing. We're not worried about what our next sale is. We're not worried about what's happening. But the second we go away from that, the second we start looking at, like, the business structures, right? The pieces that are business, you know, marketing and sales and what we should be doing with our time and social media and all these things, we become so disembodied, you know, and it'd be interesting to think about, you know, how can we bring more of that experience into our sales process, or that experience into our marketing, or that experience into our day-to-day operations? So yeah, it's such an interesting conversation, but really good point.
I would just offer to that, my response to you is, to that question, is because I would be afraid that I would be way too much for people. I have so much enthusiasm and so much, and I don't mean to sound like I know, again, I don't want to like put myself up like I know everything, but I know a lot about a certain amount of things. And I think that if I were really revealing what I know and how I go about doing it, it's like I've already gotten feedback from my family. Like, you were vulnerable on Instagram today. Is everything okay? I'm like, yeah, everything is okay. We have to feel in order to heal. And I work in the healing arts. So if I were to not present my vulnerability to my people, how are they to trust me? You know, or if I have like a little bit of rage in my voice, because I get a little like, it's enthusiasm and it's passion for like, it's time to love your body. It's just, it's time. It's the only one you've got. And I get really like, my voice changes. You can see my hands are kind of flaring. The Italian comes out. I'm like, enough is enough. You can't hate this body anymore. It loves you. It only wants you to love it back. And if I were to do, you know, then it's like, Cass isn't angry. She's angry. I don't know. There's a lot of self-commentary there, but that's my answer for you, is this, again, the conditioning of women having been told, perhaps, I know I've been told, I'm a little too much, a little too much.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, and it's interesting because, you know, I've worked with a lot of women over the years, and all of them are bringing forward something along those lines, right? You know, if we were to be ourselves, then we would be rejected. If we were to be ourselves, then we would be too much. We'd be too little. We'd be not enough. We'd be not loud enough. We'd be too quiet, right? Like, it's always something. We'd be too much of something. And yet, the key I've learned to really creating success in business is fully being ourselves, right? It's being untamed. And that's so easy in some ways to talk about and so hard to practice. I know for myself, like, I am much more feminine and I am not a consistent person. Like, this is something I really explored last year. And I realized that, you know, the business is consistency, right? That's what I've always been told. That's how the masculine looks at it. That's how business, you know, you have to be consistent. You have to be consistent online. You have to be consistent in your marketing. You have to be consistent in the way you do things. You've got to be consistent in bringing in money, right? Like, okay, but I'm not consistent. And so my whole 20 years in business, I have pushed myself, strived myself, shamed myself for not being consistent, tried everything to be consistent. And I'm just not. Like, I just can't be. It's not, you know, I did like the Clifton Strengths test and my very bottom one was consistency. And it's like embracing my cyclical structures, like embracing my cyclical energy and my being, you know, is still an upward challenge at the moment. But it is, you know, at least I'm acknowledging that I'm not consistent. And therefore, the most effective marketing I could have, or the most effective sales I can have, is going to be inconsistent, right? It's going to be more aligned with who I am. But we just haven't been taught about any of this.
There's a lot of good stuff happening here. I keep hearing the words, I think, and I can't help but wonder if that's where some of us, like, that's where some of our trouble starts, right? Especially like we're talking about embodiment, right? So it's all about following the feelings that we get in our body, which, you know, the mute button for that is essentially, I think, right? Because then it's like we stop playing in one zone of genius and we go to this other one that doesn't really have the answers. It just acts like it has the answers, right?
Yep.
In my business, I teach my clients often to follow the feeling, like follow the feeling that you want to have and work backwards from there. And so I wonder if that is part of, in our business, it's similar, right? Yeah. I also am not a particularly consistent person, but I've realized lately that I'm consistent like a Milky Way. I'm not consistent in a linear way. And the beauty of a thing like Clifton Strengths is that consistency and adaptability are equal in that system. Mm-hmm. I bet adaptability is probably in your top five if consistency is at the bottom, and I'm probably the same. I show up in a broad pattern of behaviors that all flow in the same direction and they all add up into something pretty major, but they're never going to look like at 6 a.m. every day, I do exactly the same thing. That's just not my winning behavior,
yeah.
But it doesn't mean that I don't have a pattern or trend of how I show up.
Yes.
And I would just wonder if you're similar, but like you're highlighting, we have so many constructs that we have, or we're fighting our way out of, you know, we're peeling the back and like, we're all like, Cass is just like over it. Like it's time to just get on the same page as whoever you are and whoever you're here to be. And just like, great. Consistency is number 34. Way to go. Adaptability must be very high. And look at you. You've been in business for 20 years, teaching all these women, helping all these women, bringing all of us together. There's no way you could do that if consistency was number one for you, right? Like you wouldn't have the capacity to invite in all these brand new conversations every week. And like, what a beautiful gift it is.
Right.
It's like we've got to, there's such an opportunity for us to start falling in love with who we are and the wisdom that we carry in our bodies and get our heads out of the way and get the judgment out of the way. And just, I'm done also leaning into things. I am leaping into them. You know, it's time to leap into who we are and stop, you know, Cass, you're wondering if you're too much. And I would say, bring it on.
Yes.
I want to see what you look like as too much, because I think your enthusiasm is exactly what is going to bring your people to your business.
And it feels so good.
Because they're going to say, thank God, that's the message that I need to hear. And all these other people are beating around the bush because that's not their message. They weren't given that message to bring to the people the way that you were, in the voice that you have, in all the specific beauty of the conflict that you carry within yourself. That is part of it. We all have it. You know, it's like, I'm here, I'm called to share a certain message. And it's like, yeah, I have to wake up every day and just like, it just bleeds itself out of me. Cause if I let my head get in the way, I probably would be doing something totally different. You know, that conflict is what helps us connect to our clients, because everybody is facing that struggle. I mean, we've all shared it here today, both of our own experience and that of our clients, where it's like, we know and experience one thing in our bodies and we continue to filter it with our head. And we continue to say, we should stop doing that. Like,
yeah,
we're all in it. We're all on the same Milky Way of a path here.
Yes. I love everything you just said. And I hope the listeners really receive that and take it in. And, you know, even when you were talking, like I could feel emotion welling up inside of me. you know, around the consistency. And I think this is the thing. I can talk about it. I can talk about how I'm aware of consistency. I can, like, or my lack of. I can talk about how I am accepting it and I'm working on that. And then when I feel it in my body, it's still so emotional, right? And which shows me that my talking about it is not embodied, right? There's still the embodiment for me to embrace.
Yeah.
Well, then I have some self-work around that. Okay.
Great.
I have the exercise. Okay. So, and this you can do like with your person, with your therapist, with yourself, with your God, you know, use at your discretion with whom you love. Okay. So one of the behind the scenes things that I'm so fortunate to work through, I did this in my yoga teacher training, and then I've done this with my therapy, is go ahead and have the ugly cry about the rejection you're afraid of. Go ahead and say, okay, I'm too much for them. They don't like me. Go ahead and say, I'm not consistent. You know, that makes me feel lazy. Go ahead and say, I get my laundry done by someone else. People think that makes me not a good mom. Have the ugly cry, have the whole burial, not resurrection, but have the whole process of what it is that makes you not enough or inefficient, or have, you know, having a deficit about whatever it is. Go ahead and mourn that. Have your stages of grief about it, and then show up how the fuck you want to show up.
Yes.
It may not be one ugly cry. It may be multiple ugly cries, but go ahead and have it. Go ahead and have it. Because at the end of the day, yeah, I'm going to get passionate. I'm going to raise my voice. You know, I'm going to belly dance with a fupa. Like, these are the things that are going to happen. So if people are going to judge it, I'm going to go ahead and cry about that in advance. So I don't need to worry about that when I'm putting it out there and speaking to the women God's called me to speak to.
I love that. That's so beautiful.
So beautiful.
You know, I could seriously talk to you all day, and this is such an amazing conversation. And unfortunately, we need to kind of wrap up. So what I would say is, what is, you know, one last thought or tip or perspective that each of you want to share with our listeners before we kind of close for today?
I would encourage your listeners to follow the feelings in all the ways. Let them in. Don't judge them beforehand. It really just makes it worse. If you feel the feeling, usually it's not really as bad as you expect it's going to be. And oftentimes it's much more healing. It will show you where you need to go. And if we can just allow our feelings to come through without judgment, it's a beautiful gift we can give ourselves to help us stay in our embodiment.
And I would piggyback on that with regard to how we conceive or perceive this notion, conceive and perceive the notion of centeredness. The name of my business is Midline, but it's actually about understanding that center is a moving, swirling, spirally intersection of your own unique pathway in this life, and your body has its own midline that is yours to claim. It is not a straight line that runs through you, though that is maybe part of it, and that's a playful way to source your strength. But trust your own path to center and your own path away from it so that you can learn the pathway home again.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. I love it. I love it, Kia. I love it, Cass. I would say mine is really get into community. And I know there's mom communities and business communities and weight loss communities and adoption communities. But when I mean community, I mean really get into space with people who see you, with people who see you, with people who love you, with people who are working along that same path. And sometimes when we're in these large communities, we think I should have so many friends and so many people. And it may just be one or two. It may just be one or two people who are going to walk that journey with you without judgment or shame. We're going to remind you who you are, but make it your mission to get in community as you get into community with your own self.
I love that. So beautiful. Thank you all for joining me today. This has to have been one of my favorite conversations.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting us. And thank you so much for hosting this beautiful conversation and for your podcast, The Feminine Lens. It's such a needed and important conversation that you're leading, not just with us this week, but your whole series. So thank you so much for your work.
Thanks, Kate. All right, well, we will see you all next week.
Thanks so much for listening to The Feminine Lens. If you're a woman in business and tired of trying to operate through the traditional patriarchal lens, check out my group program. You get the chance to apply these podcast topics to your life and business. You'll find coaching, support, and new perspectives on how to grow your business with more alignment and freedom. You'll be surrounded by amazing women and transform the way you feel about your value, your voice, and the gift you are bringing to the world. Just head over to soniastatman.com. All right, see you next week.